Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Cocktails for You. I'm the host for today, Brooke Sidago, and joined with me are the two compatriots, the two other furry hosts, Corbeck and Roken. How's it going?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi.
It's going great.
Going great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Some people would say it's going magical.
It's magical. And if you haven't already guessed it, today is a special episode indeed where we are retouching on an old subject that we like to touch on over and over and over again because of how much I love it, not the other two, they don't love it, is Disney drinks. Yay!
I mean, I like drinks.
Yeah, we've seen the other side. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. They have been exposed to the other side of Disney, and they do not like the Disney because of that. And
that's not saying we don't like Disney. We do enjoy Disney. We just don't have the same wanderlust for Disney.
Not like me. The sparkle in my eyes just.
Yeah, mine got. See, yours is sparkle. Mine was the pixie dust shaped in the Mickey Mouse confetti thrown into my eyes.
Oh, I got two middle fingers, so I would have taken the pixie dust.
So I thought today, I don't know, I just felt like it was a magical day and it was a good time to talk about Disney drinks. I know we've talked about it before. Two other times.
Yeah.
This is our third time doing this.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a series for us.
I think so. I think it, you know, Disney's got a lot to offer and they got a lot of different drinks.
I think after the second time going on to the third time, it's a series now.
It's a series. We're serial Disney drinkers.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it.
Well, guys, so I tasked you all to come up with some drinks from around the Disney parks. And each of you have selected a drink from a Disney park. It could be that we pick Disney drinks from the similar parks, but we'll see. There's bars around Disney. There's a whole lot of things around Disney. So we're going to talk about some of these drinks and why we picked them and how to make them. So, guys, who wants to get started?
Ooh. Oh, Brooks. I think maybe since this is your episode, maybe you should get started.
All right. Well, I don't mind doing that at all. So I picked a drink called Hightower Rocks, and it's from it's not really a bar in Disney. It's actually like a restaurant. It's in Animal Kingdom. It's called Nomad Lounge. Are you guys familiar with it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Nope, not familiar with it.
Well, it's really cool, actually. Roken, I think you enjoy going there if you ever go to Animal Kingdom again. It sits in Animal Kingdom, and it actually you can have seating inside or outside. The food in there is pretty damn good, and the seating outside actually overlooks, you know, how you got the waterways in Animal Kingdom everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This one overlooks that. And it's a very quiet space. You can get yourself a charcuterie board and all that kind of stuff. And I love a good drink, especially a drink like this when it's really hot out. And that's why I picked this drink. It's the Hightower Rocks. And the way that you make it is you'd use 1.5 ounces of tequila, 1.5 ounces of watermelon juice, 1.5 ounces of simple syrup, lemon juice, and then lime juice, and then garnish with a watermelon wedge. Tell me that does not sound refreshing on a hot freaking day, especially in Florida.
That does not sound refreshing on a hot summer day. There, so, I said it.
Yeah, no, it does sound pretty good. I drink it.
I mean, I know you're not a fan of tequila. You probably sub out things and kind of put mezcal instead of tequila, you know.
That would just make it a little smoky, which wouldn't be bad either. Watermelon and smoke is a great combo.
Yes, I agree. But yeah, that's my drink, and I'm sticking to it because I love that drink, and I love going to Nomad Lounge. Actually, where I kind of go whenever I go to Animal Kingdom is usually where I hang out at. If I got to go eat and relax I want to be away from the craziness of Disney.
So I just want to ask, that's at, just to clarify, that's at Disney World, correct? Not Disneyland.
Yeah, Disney World. It's Animal Kingdom.
It's Disney World since Disneyland doesn't have Animal Kingdom.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yes.
But
actually,
some people may not know that.
I mean, yeah, no, you're right. Some people may not know that. Something else that's kind of really cool about that drink, Brooks, I was hoping you were going to touch on, is that who it was inspired by, because this person is actually very, very influential Imagineer, especially with Animal Kingdom. And I've actually met this Imagineer. I've got to sit down and talk with him. And it's not Harrison Hightower, because Harrison Hightower is the villain from Disney Sea's Tower of Terror.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to touch on that. Why don't you go ahead and talk about it?
You mean Joe Rode. He is a sweetheart. He's a little eccentric, a little interesting, especially with his earrings. But he is the main Imagineer who thought up most of Animal Kingdom.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. And it was really cool because he's one of those few Imagineers that would walk around the parks just as a guest. And I recognized him because he would wear this really lavish, but like this one earring. And it was just, you knew it was him by that. He would sit down and talk to the cast members and spend time with you. He was a really cool guy.
That's awesome.
Nice. Well,
but yeah,
I didn't know that. And I didn't know you knew that. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Corbett knows all sorts of interesting Disney facts.
Yes, he does. He's our resident Disney expert.
Well, I mean, Roken and I were both cast members, and I think we pretty much touched base on that in the last episode as well. I just happened to be a cast member a little bit longer.
Quite a bit longer. But with that, would you like to share your drink there, Corbett?
Sure. You know what? We're still sticking to Disney World out in Orlando, Florida, as the theme with mine. We're actually going to be heading over to Epcot, and we're going to be going to one of the pavilions out there. Depending on how you like to start your drinking around the world excursion, some like to go over towards Canada, which is a good way to start, or you can just go ahead and hit things off and go over to Mexico and be done at Mexico, because they make some really strong margaritas.
Yes.
By the time you get to Japan, you're like, oh, I need to sit.
Well, that's a good question, actually. I know we're going to touch on your drink, and I am happy that you're talking about the Mexico. I love the Mexico Pavilion.
I do too.
When you guys, because I've done it a few times now, drinking around the world at Epcot, what direction do you guys start in?
Mine was always Mexico. I always started Mexico and worked my way around. Like, I liked hitting up Mexico for the margarita, going to Germany to try the different beers, Japan to try sakis and plum wines, and making my way over to England for the pub, and also kind of meet Mary Poppins, because you could meet Mary Poppins there, and that was really cool. And then ending in Canada.
Yep.
What about you? Do it the opposite. So I actually always start with Canada first, because I always like to check if Le Cellier has a reservation available. And then I like to go to England, because I'm starting a journey around the world. I'd like to have at least two Guinnesses in me. Then I usually have something in France, a snack. And then one of my favorite places is, of course, well, I guess you would hit Italy first. Actually, it's Japan, right? So I always go into the Japanese store, sake, things of that nature. Always, without fail. And then Italy, if I'm having wine or dinner, and then Germany. I've never actually eaten I've drank in Germany when they have the drinks around the world. What is it? Wine and Rose Festival?
The wine and food. Wine and food. Wine and there's food flowers. Festival. There's the oh gosh, my brain just like this. One of those with like the flowers and stuff like that, flower and garden, and then there's the wine and food.
I combined them both. Sorry, my bad. I think they come like right after each other.
But they're close. They're pretty close.
Vine and wine. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But then I always like to end in Mexico, because at that time usually the sun is setting or it's just set. You go into the indoor area of the pyramid. And it just cools you off, and they have a drink, and they do have some of the strongest margaritas I've had
It's not like punching your face. You drink it and then all of a sudden it hits you because you're like, oh, that was good. I want another.
I'm like you, Corvick. I start in Mexico most times. Depending on like if I want to deal with the crowds, because I've noticed if you go the opposite direction, and depending on what time you start, things thin out as you go like the opposite way.
I would say. I would say Mexico is definitely the more popular of the two routes because there's normally like a mariachi band playing, so it draws people that way. I just like going to Mexico and hitting the countries that way because when I get to the end where Canada is, two things. One, there's a bakery that's technically not part of the World Showcase, though it kind of is. It's just past. It's like a food stand that tucked away past Canada. We'll touch that in a second. But I like getting to Canada at the end because I'm pretty boozed up. Sometimes I just want to sit down and eat some good poutine, at least as close as I can get in Florida. And then afterwards, the reason why I like to go a little bit further, it's just past Canada. It's kind of heading back towards like the showcase or like you're heading towards the spaceship Earth. There is like this little food stand where you can get a croissant donut. What is that called? The croissant donut.
Cronut.
Cronut. Yeah, you can get a cronut there.
Yes, cronuts are great. Anyway, we derailed a little bit, but I kind of like that. I like drinking. Maybe that'll be the next one, is like picking your drink from around the world. but what is your drink there, Corvick? You said it's in Mexico.
Well, it is in Mexico, and it's actually in the pyramid where you're going to be going to La Cava de Tequila, where they sell flights of tequila. So if you want to try different tequilas that they have, you can head there and they will sell you a flight. But this one is La Cava Avocado. And the reason why I picked this one is that recently I started getting into fat washing different liquors. And the first one I did was a avocado fat washed mezcal.
Mm.
And this kind of stuck to me. I'm like, hey, you know, this is really cool. I've always thought about the idea because it's a healthier fat, but it is a fat. And that's going to bring certain mouthfeels to flavors, obviously avocado, but also mouthfeels to the drink. But the La Cava avocado has an ounce of Blanco tequila, an ounce of agave syrup. So it's going to be a little bit sweeter. A half an ounce of lime juice, a half an ounce of Midori, half of a medium avocado peeled and pitted, because you definitely don't want the seed in there. That would not be a fun surprise. Half a cup of ice. Cubes, and then a teaspoon of hibiscus salts and a lime wedge. And those hibiscus salts are going to be used to rim the glass itself. Now, this is, of course, one serving, and you can scale it up to make more if you want, because I would probably have two of these, conservatively. But what you're going to do is you're going to add all the ingredients except the hibiscus salts and the lime wedge to a blender and blend it until it's creamy. Pour the hibiscus salt into a shallow dish and rim the glass initially with the lime, so that way you can then rim the glass with the hibiscus salts. And then pour the blended drink into your rimmed glass and then enjoy either in a nice, cool, shaded, air-conditioned place or on your front porch. Or Mexico.
Or Mexico.
Just go to Disney. Go to Disney. Get the drink.
Yeah.
That does sound like a good drink, and I'm a big fan of starting in Mexico, so probably the next time that I go to Disney World and Epcot, I'll be like,
yeah, I was talking about that recently. I kind of want to go back for doing that. And the little thing, my little like pro tip, what I would do as a cast member is I'd start in Mexico, get my drinks there, make my way around, you know, like touching on the different areas, stopping either in China or Japan to have lunch. And then continuing my adventures into I get to London. So
yeah, I always like stopping in China sometimes for the food, but they have a drink there that I really enjoy. But I'm going to hold off on sharing on that one because it is one of my favorite ones.
I think drinking around the world could be an episode in its own.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like drinking around the world. Let's go. but yes, moving things along. Roken, I know you picked out a drink, and it is, where in Disney is this from?
So, shall I say the name of the drink first, or the ride, or the park?
What is
there's the a name? Lot here.
What is the name of the drink? Let's start there.
Sure. So for those who are listening and those that know me, I usually always enjoy going to a tiki bar, and I will usually go out of my way to try out tiki bars in various cities all over the world. One in particular that caught my attention is the Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar out in California. Because, you know, West Coast is the best coast, supposedly.
We have a Trader Sam's on the East Coast, too.
It's not the same.
How do you know?
It's not the same. Yeah, no, compare the pictures online. The Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar in California is nicer than the Trader Sam's, I forget what it's called in Disney World.
Tiki Room.
But the name of this drink, and hopefully I can say it correctly without like stuttering or breaking this up, is the Hippopotami Tai. So basically a play on the Mai Tai, which I also really enjoy as in terms of tiki drinks. Now, why I chose this drink is one, tiki, two, rum, three, I really like this ride that it comes from. So if you guys are familiar with the Jungle Cruise, there's a part in the Jungle Cruise where the skippers fire two pretend shots at hippos that are about to charge. So that's where this drink comes in. This drink is potent with two different types of rum, just so you're ready for the bang. So
I like it.
If you wanted to make this at home, this serves one. And you can always scale it up. But you want about an ounce of white rum, an ounce of dark rum, a half an ounce of orgeat. You want a half an ounce of agave syrup, a half an ounce of lime juice, a quarter ounce dry curacao, a half orange wheel if you have it, maraschino cherry again if you have it, and a small sprig of fresh mint again if you have it. So you really want to add all the liquid ingredients to the cocktail shaker with ice, shake, strain into a tiki or a rocks glass, and then garnish with your orange wheel, your maraschino cherry, and mint, and enjoy. Because after a few of these Hippopotami Tais, you won't care if a hippo charges you. You'll be too intoxicated to notice.
You probably wouldn't move.
I mean, go ahead and give me three.
Okay, three for Corvik.
Got it.
I could probably handle like four, but I'd be on the floor.
That's good. Brooks on the floor. He's drunky.
It's fine. You just when he's in the way, you just push him under the bed.
Jeez. Wow.
There you go. You're fine.
He'll be okay. He's safe. Nothing will fall on top of him.
No hippos can get me under here.
He's in his kikurume under the bed. He's good.
Interesting. Funny thing. Where do you know how the tiki bar got its name, Trader Sam's?
Well, I think, isn't it something about Trader Sam getting bitten by a bug and then it caused him to want to open a bar?
I don't know if that's true. I've heard different things.
I mean, if you ask one of the skippers, there's going to be a story. There's going to be like 10 different stories.
I always heard that it was I do know that part of it is that it was inspired by the Jungle Cruise. And I thought Trader Sam was the end of the guy at the ride who was always like selling the stuff.
That Trader Sam, though, is no longer part of the ride.
Yeah, he got taken out, but his outpost is still there. It's called
Trader Outpost. And I think that's kind of a part of the inspiration of having the Tiki Lounge as his outpost.
Yes, exactly. That's where I heard it came from, is from that character from the ride. They developed this whole thing with him. Actually,
straight from Disney. Oh. Disneyland.disney.go.com. They say, many years ago, legendary explorer Trader Sam was bitten by the bartending bug. Initially, we thought it was just a big mosquito. Ever since then, Sam searches the Amazon, Congo, Mystic Point, Polynesia, and every exotic locale in between for ingredients to mix into these magical libations. There you go.
So it is a bug.
And apparently he picked up a bunch of trinkets from around the world, and that's how he created his bar.
I do. If you've never been to either one of them, it is a lot of fun to go to Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Lounge, Tiki Bar. They're a lot of fun. Like, Disney always does it upright, for sure.
Can you ever really go wrong with a tiki bar? Probably.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Yeah, but no, Disney always has really good theming, and it's kind of fun whenever if you order certain drinks in the bar, I know different things will happen. It's like,
oh, you know where they probably got that idea, or potentially, is from the Adventures Club, which is by far was my favorite bar that Disney had when it was still around.
Oh, really? I never heard of that place.
Yeah. Like, if you ordered a gin and tonic at the Adventures Club, it's where... So, it's obviously not there anymore because it was part of... oh, gosh, my brain is going blank. It was part of Downtown Disney when Downtown Disney had the clubs and everything.
Oh, Adventure Island or something like that, right?
Yeah, it might have been Adventure Island. It's been so long. But one of the bars there was called the Adventures Club, and it was like a three-story bar with all these decorations and things like that. And actually, Trader Sam had some stuff there as well, like little nods to him and things like that. And if you ordered a gin and tonic there, the Admiral or the Commander, which was one of the tiki masks would start talking and then a gun would go off.
Whoa.
It was great. It was all because of like certain drinks that were ordered and just atmosphere. And they had people would come out and they were cast members that were like, you know, they were part of the Adventures Club and they would tell you stories. And it was just really cool. You would have loved it, Roken.
Yeah, I would have loved to work there. Why did I work where I worked? That would have been much better.
Because you had to run away to join the circus.
I suppose so.
Like a weird golfer, dude.
Anyway.
Well, guys, all those drinks sounded really, really good to me. And I'm definitely going to be trying them out next time that I go to Disney. But I think we've reached the end of this episode.
I think we have too.
Why don't
think so.
Close things out. And who wants to close us out today?
How about you, Brooks?
Oh, I'm going to mess it up.
Oh, we know. We're very aware.
That's why we want you to do it.
Let's see. The best drink in the world is the one that you're drinking around the world at Epcot.
Sure. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's better. Better than the best drink of the world is dog slobber from Brooks the Doggo.
Ew, gross.
Some people might pay money for his slobber.
No, thank you. Anyway.
The best drink in the world is the one you enjoy, everyone.
Thank you guys so much for joining me, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Maybe even at Disney.
Bye-bye.
Bye.